Hello and welcome to Series 1, Episode 7 of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast, as we are left reeling in defeat to FC Midtjylland of Denmark, but there's a slight improvement away at Shrewsbury Town in the Cup. Yes, this is the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. I'm Harry Robertson, and as always, I'm joined by Jack Tate. How do you sum up the last week, Jack, with a 2-1 defeat, one of the worst I can remember in the last decade or so, and then a professional performance, a good one, against Shrewsbury in the FA Cup, sending us to the quarterfinals against West Ham.
Exactly, as you said, it was a real low point Thursday night. It really was one of the worst nights that I can remember in the last, as you said, the last sort of decade, really. It wasn't even the fact that we lost, it was just the way that we lost. It was just such a gutless performance. There would just seem to be a lack of effort from the majority of the players, and you know, just some of the sloppy mistakes. People like Michael Carrick giving the ball away so many times. It was just ridiculous to watch, to be quite honest. And then on the flip side, I'm not getting too carried away with it by any means, because we were at the end of the day playing League One relegation battlers. But then, as you said, a professional job against Shrewsbury Town. They're always potential banana skins, those fixtures. But we did a really good job of quieting the crowd early on and got those couple of first half goals, which really settled the nerves, and Jesse Lingard finished the job off well in the second half. Only downsides were two more injuries to Will Keane and Jesse Lingard, just to add to our, what is it? I think that makes our 13th and 14th injured player now. That was the only blot on what was a pretty good performance.
Yeah, it was a good performance, and it was probably one of the only times this season that I've sat there watching United and I didn't think, even in the first sort of 25 minutes when we had lots of the ball but weren't scoring, and even we only probably had two or three chances then, I didn't think that it was going to be one of those games where we had lots of the ball, we were on top, and we eventually didn't win. And it was quite nice to have that for once. Best player on the pitch is quite hard to decide. Everyone was good, really. Memphis probably gets an honourable mention in that for his efforts. I thought he ran into players a bit too much. Do you feel the same, though?
Yeah, it seemed like a night of Memphis really, really trying to impress. And at some points, he seemed to be trying a little bit too hard, especially in the first, I remember the first 6 minutes. He already had two wild attempts at 25-yard shots. His free kick in the first half that hit Anthony Martial on the head might have been going in, but we'll never know. But yeah, he did have a good game. I thought other notable performances were from Juan Mata. I thought was very good. He improved quite a bit in that game. Ander Herrera, we've been quite critical of him on here, but he did have quite a good game.
When we discuss Midtjylland in a few minutes, I think we'll be very critical of Herrera again. Schneiderlin was quietly good. 99 passes, more than anyone else on the pitch. I think 10 more than anyone else on the pitch. I thought David Blind was really good in a game where our defenders didn't have to defend much. A defender sort of shone out for me despite three goals. He shone out more than the three goal scorers. He had so much to the team. I mean, when you see Chris Smalling stepping out of defence and he ends up near the box, as he did for his brilliant goal, he steps up near the box, you're thinking, what are you doing? But when Daley Blind does it, you think that's a player who is made to do that, who, as a midfielder, can do that very easily, and his passing was excellent. He starts so many attacks with sort of... Do you feel the same about Blind in defence? And when Marcus Rojo comes back, and do you want Blind to stay in that centre-back role?
I absolutely want Blind to stay in that centre-back role, yeah. He's definitely been, without a doubt, an unsung hero of our season. He's been very, very good, and it's really him and Chris Smalling actually have a really nice partnership. They complement each other really well in their differing styles, and I think he's played really, really well, especially in the last couple of months since our injury problems have really, really become a problem. He's really stepped up to the plate when we've needed him, and I totally agree that he was a good performer against Shrewsbury. I think when Rojo comes back, his position will be, well, I hope anyway, will be primarily at left back. Although having said that, Cameron Borthwick-Jackson has played well too, so Rojo will have to make sure he keeps him out of the team. But yeah, I do hope and expect that David Lind will remain at the heart of our defence.
Yeah, and I thought Van Gaal, in terms of substitutions, did slightly better against Shrewsbury. He brought on Joe Riley for Borthwick-Jackson, an injury scare there at half-time, and then Pereira got a chance, although he definitely needs to get a much bigger chance. He came in against Midge Island as well. I think it was only for about 12 minutes. And there's not much point of Pereira in that situation, because there's usually it's where there's a moment of magic from him. It's not a consistent thing. He's quite inconsistent, even within the 90 minutes of a game, if not over the course of a few games. And then Will Keane got a chance. He got a chance a few weeks ago for a very short amount of time. I think he would have got about 20 minutes, but he came on, had a shot hit the post, and as he shot, he strained his groin, I think maybe pulled his groin, which means we have one striker now, which will be interesting against Midge Island and Arsenal. We'll preview those games later. Chris Smalling, it was John O'Shea at Highbury-esque. He turned away in celebration, like, what am I meant to do?
Yeah, first of all, I heard was that my friend messaged me when he heard, he was listening on the radio, and when he heard that Smalling scored, he actually thought it was an own goal because he was so shocked that Chris Smalling was that far up the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a few headers from him last season. I think he scored as many as Falcao. Bad memories there. But in terms of an actual finish, it was brilliant. His first FA Cup goal, Jesse Lingard got his first FA Cup goal. We've discussed Jesse Lingard, and he's a player who most of the young players who come through, I love, like Varela, Borthwick, Jackson. Lingard, I like, but there's something that hasn't made me warm to him quite as much. But I feel bad for that, because he's a Mancunian lad. Even if he moved when he was about seven or something, he's been playing for more than a decade at United now, and he's making it, and he works hard. And he seems like one of those players who'd make it in the Ferguson era, who aren't that player who's going to be one of the best in the world, but they're a very good squad player. And as someone tweeted the other day, he said, we need players from the academy who can be squad players as well. We don't just want David Beckham. We also need people like Darren Fletcher, Johnny Evans, people like that.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think we discussed Lingard when he was first making his breakthrough into the first team. And we both said that we do see his future at Man United as a squad player, as you said. And it is a role that needs filling, because we can't just keep shelling out £20 million on players who we want to be squad players. At the end of the day, there does need to be some progression from the youth academy up into the first team, even if it is just to be a squad player. And to be fair to Lingard, he's done absolutely everything that's been asked of him, and he's been keeping Adnan Januzaj out of the team before he got injured. He's almost forced Juan Mata inside, because there really is no way that you can drop Jesse Lingard on the form that he's been in. He's been really one of the bright sparks of our play in the last sort of month and a half, 2 months, but of the new year, basically. So yeah, he has been a real bright spark. I'm pleased for him. I'm really pleased. He seems like someone who has put in a lot of effort to get where he is, and he's waited a long time for his chance. He's been put out on loan a lot, and now it's coming good for him.
Yeah, I was also pleased to see Joe Riley get a chance. He's been played not in his natural position in the under-21s, but he's still managed to be very, very impressive. And he's rightfully got a deserved call-up to the first team, replacing Borthwick Jackson. And there was a great picture of him after he made his debut for the club. And there was a great picture of Riley with Cristiano Ronaldo having gotten his autograph probably, what would it be, about 12 years ago, maybe 11 years ago. And then there's a picture of Riley playing in the United shirt now. And there's the same with Jesse Lingard. There's also a great picture of him, as I think he's about four, and he's got the old United kit doing kick-up. So while it's not been a great few weeks for results, great few weeks for the academy and debutants from there, not a great week for results. Good win against Shrewsbury. Terrible, terrible performance against FC Midge Island. The night started to go. The night went wrong. You could tell it was going to be bad as soon as David De Gea got injured. A player who's probably been injured twice in his United career. I think it was either an ankle or knee injury in the warm up, which left us with no goalkeeper on the bench. And Sergio Romero came in, who I thought was very, very good. One incredible one handed save to deny a header early on, and then another double or triple save later on. I thought he was good. Maybe De Gea would have dealt better with the deflected shot. We've seen him save some deflected shots, but overall, Romero is probably the only player who came out of that game well, wasn't he?
Definitely, yeah. I said that header. The save from Onuachi's header was a brilliant save, and he's capable of moments like that. To be fair, and even when he played at the start of the season, he never did too badly. He was just, unfortunately for him, he's trying to compete with David De Gea, one of the best goalkeepers in the world. But yeah, as you say, it kind of foreshadowed what was to come when David De Gea got injured in the warm-up. It was a very dark, dark and somber night in Denmark.
Yeah, and I thought Romero's distribution improved quite a lot, because at the start of the season, the main criticism you could have of him was he's very, like, I mean, it's some of the worst goalkeeping kicks out that I've seen. I was at the first game of the season against Tottenham, and every time he got the ball, he either kick it out or try to chip it to the striker, and the Spurs would just intercept it. Instead of man of the match, don't think there really can be. Worst performer for you, for me, under Herrera?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. He was pretty shocking all night, to be honest.
Yeah, it's one of the, I'd say it's one of the worst United midfield performances I've seen in a very long time. I mean, Michael Carrick wasn't as bad, anywhere near as bad as Herrera, but I mean, both of them together, it was really, really terrible, giving the ball away so easily and just getting on the ball, either losing it or being too slow, just looking backwards all the time. There was no inspiration anywhere throughout the team. Would you agree?
Yeah, and that midfield is so important in the 4-2-3-1 formation. That midfield too really needs to get a stranglehold of the game, and they never really did that, unfortunately. Even in some of our worst performances this season, we've still controlled the game, we just haven't really done much with it. But against Midtjylland, we didn't even seem to be able to control the game properly, to be honest. And Carrick and Herrera were really ineffective through the whole game, and Carrick's loose pass ended up leading to Midtjylland's goal. So yeah, it was a very poor night for them too.
Midtjylland's two goals, both quite bad. A very good finish for the second goal. Both of their goal scorers were actually very, very good, and their keeper was okay too. As in against Shrewsbury, whose keeper deserves an honourable mention, did quite well to save a few very good chances from Martial and Memphis. But the two goal scorers for Midtjylland were both very good, Sisto and Onuicha. And Onuicha's goal was a good finish, where Sisto's were deflected past Romero. But defending was really, really shocking for those two goals. It was like Shrewsbury against us. They respected us and allowed us to play, and that was ultimately the downfall for them. And it was like we were respecting Midtjylland, the team from Denmark, who are currently third in the league. In the Danish Superliga, they're third, they're losing friendlies and stuff, and we're respecting them, sitting off them, allowing them to just run. I think Sisto ran past three players on the edge of the box with no one even getting close, let alone putting a foot in, before he shot, and it was deflected past Romero. Same with Onuicha, he just stepped in front of his man and curled it into the left corner. But defence was bad, wasn't it?
The defence was pretty terrible all night, to be honest. And I don't like to pass the whole of the blame onto the defence, because at the end of the day, the whole team was pretty terrible. And as we just covered, the midfield was offering almost no help whatsoever. But it was pretty poor performance from the entire defence. Donald Love struggled at right back in his first Europa League game. It was strange, really, because it was mistakes that we've not seen that much this season. It looked very similar to how we defended in David Moyes' season, and almost actually in Alex Ferguson's last season as well, when our defence wasn't great. But yeah, it was very strange, a very un-Van Hal-like defensive performance.
Yeah, it was very un-Van Hal-like. And Donald Love and Paddy McNair both coming on, his first match in a very long while, and Love having made his debut against Sunderland, and both of them were out of position far too much. And I don't want to lay the blame on them, because they're both young players, especially Love, who's just made his debut, but they were both out of position a lot. And Love was, as a right back, you want to see him attacking, but you also want that bit of discipline there, and that's perhaps why Van Gaal sold Raphael. Bit of a lack of discipline in terms of defensiveness. Love looked forward a lot more than any other player, but he looked forward too much, and then I think I remember him charging forward, and he was on the edge of the box with no one up there around him, and no one was supporting him, and he ended up being out of position and Midtjylland attacked. And I felt sorry for him and McNair, because they're young, and ultimately they made a few mistakes, but there was very much a lack of leadership without Rooney, and I think that could be a big issue in the coming weeks. Michael Carrick was a captain, but he wasn't really a leader, was he?
Not at all, no. And captains are supposed to lead by example, and Carrick really, really didn't do that on the night. I do agree that Rooney will be a big loss, because I don't see any true leaders in our team other than him. Because although we do have senior players like Carrick, and I suppose Smalling and De Gea, you can maybe fit into that mould as well, I don't think they have the leadership qualities that Wayne Rooney does. And especially in the case of Smalling, because although he is not a young player anymore, he's only really been an established first team player for about a year and a half. So it's difficult for him to step up into that leadership position so quickly. I think the loss of Rooney, obviously not just for his ability and his goals as they have been recently, but for his leadership qualities as well, will be a big miss.
Schneiderlin was very impressive against Shrewsbury, but as he was against Chelsea when he came on, I thought he was a really bad substitute. He came on to sort of grab control of the game. Van Gaal probably brought him on to do that. And it was a complete opposite. As with Chelsea, he was charging forwards, just out of control, not calming the game down like he was brought on to do. And even when he was charging forward, it was only making a negative impact. Were you disappointed with him?
Yeah, I was. I was. At the end of the day, the whole team was bad. Yeah, it wasn't a good performance from him. No, nothing more I can say, really. I feel like I'm repeating myself for almost every player. There really wasn't any standouts. Perhaps maybe Jesse Lingard, to some extent, was probably our best player, but nothing special.
Memphis wasn't great overall, but for the goal, I thought he did really well. I mean, it's hard to mention anything positive bar Romero in that game, but Memphis for the goal, he managed to stay up despite sort of coming close to falling over and then finished, even if it was sort of eventually sort of scrambled in. It was a good finish by him. Pereira came on, he needs more minutes, did okay, nothing special. It's tough to make an impact when you're 2-1 down. Van Gaal blamed the law of Murphy after that injury to De Gea in the warm-up, what we think was either a twisted ankle or some kind of knee injury. De Gea is meant to be back soon, though, possibly against Midtjylland this Thursday. Van Gaal also said that the fans should be angry with the loss in Denmark. His constant honesties with the media is becoming at times kind of frustrating now, isn't it?
We've discussed this a few times, and that the arrogance that we all actually loved when he first came to United, because we thought we were getting, and I suppose we were at the time, getting what we thought was one of the best managers in the world with a brilliant track record. And that arrogance was something we all liked, because we thought, you know, we're getting, without wanting to use a really, really cringy phrase, like the Manchester United swagger back. And it was, you know, think we are Manchester United, we are the best team in the country, we have the best manager in the country, and obviously it's not turned out like that. And so, yeah, his tribulations with the media are becoming quite tiresome now.
As you mentioned with injuries, Borthwick Jackson and Will Keane were both injured in that win against Shrewsbury. Louis van Gaal has also said after the game that Anthony Martial and Juan Mata were taken off as a rest. I think that sort of signifies who he sees as the most important members of the starting lineup. He described the additional two injuries to an already lengthy list as unbelievable. I mean, for all his faults, the amount of sort of in-game injuries or impact injuries that Van Gaal has seen team get this season is quite incredible. And yeah, he should be able to deal with that. But in an interview with Mark Ogden a few weeks ago, he said he knew he was putting faith into his youngsters when he made the squad the size it is, and when he didn't buy anyone in January. Another big injury, as we've alluded to before the two games that we've reviewed this week, is that of Wayne Rooney. The captain has been ruled out for 6 to 8 weeks with a knee ligament injury, although Van Gaal has refused to put a timescale on his return. He's already missed 2 games, could miss another 9 in the following weeks. Should James Wilson be recalled from Brighton and Hove Albion, Jack, as at @J_BHAFC asked?
It's definitely a possibility. Depends how long Will Keane is out for, because there were some conflicting reports after the game, and it depends whether it's just a groin strain or he's actually pulled it. The problem is that will James Wilson actually get minutes if he comes here? Because I'm not sure that Van Gaal would see him as above both Martial and possibly that role of playing Memphis as sort of like the false nine, centre-forward type. And I'm not sure he would be ahead of those two. And if he would still play Memphis as that sort of false nine or above him, I don't really see the need to recall him if he's only going to sit on the bench anyway. Although it may be a nice way of just increasing our options going forward a little bit.
Yeah, we definitely do need more options. Keane out for, I think, probably, if it's a groin injury, I'd assume it would be 3 to 4 weeks, although, as you say, there's been no sort of confirmation from the club about that. No confirmation on Rooney either, but that's probably 6 to 8 weeks. And that's that. We have a significant amount of games in that time, with Midtjylland, Arsenal, and then Premier League games building up, and then possibly more Europa League, definitely more FA Cup. It's hard, as you say, because we want Wilson to be getting game time. But, I mean, at Brighton, he hasn't been incredibly successful. He picked up an injury, which is classic for United strikers at the moment. He picked up an injury, so missed their game on Saturday. I think you'll give us a lone watch later. I think it is difficult because we want him to be getting game time. He hasn't been that successful at Brighton. He's done okay, probably good in terms of, I think we have to say good because he's still getting selected for the first team, which is a positive sign. Clearly the manager thinks he's doing well, isn't it, incredibly, and we don't want him to be sitting on the bench, but it may become a necessity if Keane is out for 4 weeks, because that leaves us with only Martial and Memphis, and given other injuries, Valencia, Young, etc, etc, the list goes on. We also need Memphis on the left as well, because Yanazai is injured as well at the moment. In other news, both Arturo Vidal, long-term United target, and Gianluigi Buffon have revealed they turned down moves to United in the past. Vidal said there was an offer from England that he liked last summer, but the size and quality of Bayern Munich won him over. I think he made the right choice there. Another player turning us down was Arda Turan. There were links with him and United in the summer, but he said that he always wanted a move to Barcelona from Atletico Madrid, not to England or United. Former United manager David Moyes says Louis van Gaal shouldn't be sacked as United manager and that the club cannot become a sacking club, although I know a lot of people who won't care what Moyes says after that dreadful 9 months in charge. The biggest news for the youth setup this week is that after almost a year without a head of the academy, Brian McClair has been replaced. Ed Woodward has appointed Nicky Butt, member of the class of 92, as the head of the setup. There's been questions over his experience and his ability to fulfil the role, but I'm pleased with his appointment. You too, Jack?
Yeah, I think it's nice to see someone who has the experience of actually coming through the academy. I mean, I'm not entirely sure of his credentials in terms of actually knowing sort of the logistics of running everything. But yeah, I think it's nice to see someone who's actually been through the academy. They know the ideal of how an academy should work. And so he can try and recreate to some degree what he and the other members of that class of 92 really felt and what they went through in their experiences coming through the academy. And if we can recreate some of those, but with obviously the modern sort of touch to it, then I think it's definitely a good appointment. To some degree, I'm always not fussed who it is, just the fact that we actually have someone who we can say is now the head of the academy is a positive step. It was far, far too long, ridiculous amount of time, really, without a head of the academy. And it was just hindering any kind of progress or direction that we could make. So I think it's definitely a positive step.
Yeah, we discussed the state of the academy, as I seem to mention in every episode, in Series 3 at about 60 minutes 45. And in my opinion, even if Nicky Butt doesn't have that experience of running an academy, he's come through, as you say, which is great to have. And he's got experience coaching. I mean, he took charge of the under-19 side that were in the UEFA Youth League earlier this season. He's helped out. He's been a coach for, I think, two, maybe 3 or 4 years now. So he's got that experience there. And the name Nicky Butt, the fact that Nicky Butt is the head of the academy could prove a massive attraction to players who are trying to decide between United and maybe another club in the Northwest. So hopefully that name can help with recruitment. And what I have to hope is that Nicky Butt knows his limits, doesn't try to run it all by himself, which I think he will. I think he'll try to sort of delegate, as Sir Alex Ferguson realised that he had to do while he was managing United. Last week, Paul McGinnis resigned as under-18 manager. They won their first game without him in charge, as we mentioned last week, against Stoke City. In their latest game against West Bromwich Albion, Zach Durnley opened the scoring in a 3-0 win, with DJ Buffon scoring a penalty and Tyler Reid scoring the other one. Coach Tommy Martin is overseeing things until McGuinness's replacement is announced. There's rumours, I don't know where these are from, that Giggs will take over the under-21s and Warren Joyce, who's currently under-21 manager, will take over the under-18s. They played in a youth Manchester derby this week, the under-18s, with Callum Whelan getting a draw for United at home and Lucas Nmeka scoring City's goal. Meanwhile, having beaten City's elite development squad, or under-21 side to most of us, 1-0 a week ago, the score was flipped away from home at City's impressive new youth stadium for the under-21s. Ashley Brown-Smith scored the only goal of the game for City, while against Reading a few days earlier, the under-21s won 1-0 thanks to a Sean Long own goal. Trip to Middlesbrough next Monday. Scott McTominay scored the only goal in the Lancashire Senior Cup on Wednesday. That was a quarter-final against Blackpool away from home, so that means a meeting with Oldham in the semi-final, which will be played on Monday the 7th of March behind closed doors at the Aon Training Complex. Jack, how have our loan players been doing this week?
It was a quiet week, actually, of lone players. Only two of them actually played any part in their team's games. Nick Powell, probably the most high-profile game he's going to play for Hull. He played 78 minutes in the 0-0 draw against Arsenal. He got a frustrated figure for much of the game. Obviously, Hull didn't see much of the ball throughout the 90 minutes, but had a solid enough game. He had one small half chance early in the match, but that was blocked. And apart from that, sort of a bit part role, really, but as we said, wasn't much he could do, and it will hopefully be the start of a good loan spell at the KC Stadium. And the other United loanee to feature was Ashley Fletcher, who came on in the 60th minute for Barnsley in their 1-0 win against Doncaster Rovers, and actually scored the winning goal with just around 9 minutes to go, I believe. And yeah, he's done pretty well, actually. Scored, that was his third goal, and he's also got two assists since joining Barnsley on loan. So obviously not the best standard of football, but he's proven that he can score goals, and he has been a decent addition. Just another to add to the injury woes, if we were ever thinking of recalling the ostracised Victor Valdes. He's also injured and did not play any part for Standard Liège. And Kieran O'Hara and Tyler Blackett also did not feature.
Right, big week coming up after big week. We've just had FC Midtjylland again on Thursday night at Old Trafford. I'm sure that won't be a sellout this time. 2-1 going into that. Predictions for this game? Do you think we'll scrape it through?
I really hope so, yeah. The Europa League, I know we all like to hate the Europa League, but at the end of the day, Premier League isn't exactly going very well. So I think we do need to at least try and get some confidence up, get some respectability back into our season, if at all possible at this stage. I do think we will win. I am almost sure that it can't be any worse than last week.
It would be hard, wouldn't it?
yeah, it really would. And I think, with all due respect to Midtjylland, I don't think we're going to have to play our best to win the tie. So I'm hoping, yeah, that we'll be able to come through.
They weren't actually that good on Thursday. And the main reason we lost was because we were terrible, not that they were good. I mean, they were okay. Their goals were sort of individual moments of greatness. But I think at Old Trafford, as I said, I don't think it'll be a sellout. I don't think that many people want to watch us this season, although the real fans will still be going, of course. And I think we'll win. I think we'll go through. We only need a 1-0 win to go through in the Europa League. And it's much easier than you think. It's a much better position than the reaction assumes, because it was a embarrassing, humiliating, whatever you want to call it. It was utterly terrible in Denmark. But actually, to get through, we really don't need to do that much. A 1-0 win would get it for us, given we have the away goal. Predictions in terms of score, Jack?
I'm going to go for possibly a bit ambitious with the amount of goals I think we're going to score, but I'm going to go for 3-1 to United.
And FA Cup, having beaten Shrewsbury Town, we've been drawn against West Ham United at home. I think the tie we played in mid-March, I think from the 11th to the 14th of March. I think I read that somewhere. On to the Arsenal game. So, as I mentioned earlier, we're here today with our guest, Kieran Nagra, an Arsenal fan ahead of the game on Sunday. Super Sunday, really, against Arsenal. Big game. It'd be great to stop them winning the league, wouldn't it? Kieran, how are you? Initial predictions for the game on Sunday?
I'm fine, mate. Thanks. I think we're going to go for the win on this Sunday, and I don't think we have much reason to be negative going into it. So I'm looking towards a win, probably 1-0, quite a tight margin, but overall should be feeling quite confident going into this one.
Yeah, you're in good form, sort of. I mean, a nil draw against Hull City at the weekend in the FA Cup. How would you sum up that? It was a lot of chances for you, but nothing really that substantial.
Yeah, we had a lot of shots, but it was our second string side, so it's not going to be the one that we play against you. So we didn't really capitalise on all the shots we had, but we created well. And overall, I don't think it's really something we have to be too bothered about.
Jack, initial predictions for Sunday?
Tough to disagree, really. Two teams with contrasting fortunes at the moment, unfortunately. It's hard to bet against Arsenal, really. They seem to have gotten over that mini curse that they seem to have against United, winning at Old Trafford in the FA Cup last season and then just blowing us away in 20 minutes at the Emirates earlier this season. And yeah, if you're looking at form and kind of the season so far, it is a clear Arsenal win. But we've seen strange things happen in big games like this, and form to some extent can go out the window sometimes. So tough to call, but yeah, I would definitely make Arsenal favourites.
Yeah, I mean, you say they've got over the course, that FA Cup win, and then the game I was at the Emirates, which was, they scored early, and I thought, oh, we're going to get absolutely battered here. 3-0, quite humiliated. It could have been 5-6 or even revenge for 8-2 or something. But in terms of at Old Trafford, Arsenal haven't won any of the last 8 Premier League games at Old Trafford, even if they won that FA Cup game. Mesut Ozil on Sunday could equal Fabregas and Lampard for an entire season with an assist. Is he your key player or Alexis?
I think it's got to be Ozil. I think you just can't ignore him in these sort of situations. And Alexis, since coming back from injury, hasn't really been in the best sort of form. So obviously you'd go with Ozil for this sort of match.
Up front, you got Theo Walcott, Danny Welbeck, Giroud. Personally, I don't think Walcott is of the standard that Arsenal need. So would you start Giroud and then maybe Welbeck out wide? Or does he go to the bench after a brilliant impact against Leicester after returning from injury?
I think you've got to start with Giroud, because what he brings to the team is a stability. You know, he drops deep, provides space. It's quite a sort of calming force in your team. But once maybe the game starts to not go your way in the last sort of 20 minutes or so, that's when you bring on the likes of Welbeck, Walcott, extra players who can offer a sort of burst of energy. And that's when you need those players, you know, the latter stage of the game. So I'd start with Giroud.
Last season, we saw Per Mertesacker get very much exploited by the pace of Di Maria and Rooney. Would you start him and Koscielny at the back? Or maybe Chambers in the central area?
I won't go with Chambers. I don't really think he's of quality to go into this one. Neither with Gabriel as well. More to the fact that he's just coming back into injury and he won't really be ready for the match. Mertesacker's been in some good form, and I think he'll still be helped out by the likes of Koscielny and Bellerin and such. So I won't fear too much for him, but obviously with Mertesacker and what's happened before, you just don't know.
Jack, in terms of overcoming Koscielny, who I think is one of the best defenders in the league, even though that's not a very strong department in the past few years, who do you want to see start for United at the moment? Because Martial hasn't scored for a while. Obviously, he's going to get a game with no... So we'd have no strikers left with Rooney injured, Keane injured, and that's basically it. Do you start Memphis on the left so he can drift inside and play up front?
Yeah, I think we've got to. We don't really have much choice. As you said, our injuries are just seem to be getting worse and worse by the week. Jesse Lingard, it was revealed, also picks up a knock against Shrewsbury. So not sure whether he'll be fit. But if so, I would expect the same front four that have started the last few games in Memphis, Martial, Mata and Lingard. And to be honest, there's not really any other options that we have. The only other kind of possibility is to play Memphis up front, but I can't see that being a tactic that's employed by Van Gaal, especially not while Anthony Martial is fit. I personally don't particularly like seeing Martial up front, and I've been quite vocal about that, but unfortunately we don't really have many other options. So as much as I would like to see him come off the left, him playing up front with Memphis on the left, Mata in the middle and Lingard on the right, it seems like the only option really.
Kieran, watching United this season, has it been a bag of laughs? Haven't seen us being so successful, or like what have you thought of us this season?
Well, I mean, it's gotten worse from last season as well, and you've been on a run of bad form for a really long time now. It's getting to the point where you just start to question, you know, how the quality of the players in the United's team, and you know, it's quite a sight to see. Obviously, at the level they were just a few years ago, it's quite a delight for an Os fan when you see the rise that we've been on compared to your downfall, really.
Looking at us, our sort of slow, dull play, do you expect that again from us, and do you think you'll be able to exploit that with maybe fast counter-attacks, maybe Walcott if he starts or something like that?
It looks like at the moment we're going to be playing Alexis and probably Oxlade-Chamberlain on the right, and obviously those players who are very quick, like to get on the counter, and those are the players who obviously we'll see what your fullbacks are like, but it's most likely they're going to be quite inexperienced, obviously, with Darmian and Shaw being out, and that's how we're probably going to get you down the flanks on the counter attack with those basic players.
And as you mentioned, Arsenal on the rise this season, very strongly in for the title race with Leicester and Tottenham, and I don't want to say Tottenham, that'll upset you, and Manchester City. Can you finally win it? I mean, if you don't win it this season, can you ever win it?
I think this is definitely going to be our best chance. You know, you've got Chelsea who are going to want to rebuild in the summer. You've got Pep Guardiola going over to City. And I think this is our best chance. Once, obviously, with that win against Leicester a week ago, that's probably, hopefully, going to be the turning point. and it's just going to be wins like these which got us all tight on. I think we can do it.
Jack, are you backing Arsenal for the league or Leicester or City even?
It's just tough ones are cool because everyone seems like they want to hand it to everyone else. For a long time, I refused to consider Leicester as title challengers at all. I just thought that they would begin to fade away. And now I really can't do that at all. I do wonder whether Leicester can hold on because they lost at the Emirates, just because of the way that they lost at the Emirates. See, with that last second winner from Danny Welbeck. It's tough to bet against Arsenal because, all right, I know none of their squad, well, other than Petr Cech, have won, and Danny Welbeck actually, have won Premier League titles before. They do have a lot more experience in that department than the likes of Spurs and Leicester. I think Spurs have a very good chance. I'm sorry, Kieran, to say that, but I do think they have a good chance. It's just whether they can keep their players fit. But I would make Arsenal favourites, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I live quite close to the Emirates and I'm always with Arsenal fans. It would be quite painful to... I mean, it's the same situation as when Liverpool came close. Gary Neville put it quite good. It's trying to choose who you want to cheat with your wife, whether you want Liverpool or City to win the league. For me, it's quite similar, if not as to an extreme with Arsenal and City.
Obviously, it's been well documented how lackluster Man United's attack has been this season. Is there any areas at all where you think that United could possibly hurt you? And if we are to have any success in the game, where do you think it might come from?
I think the way you guys are going to get a grip over us in this game is going to be how you control Ozil. Because if you can mark Ozil out of the game, you're leaving most likely Coquelin, Ramsey, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Sanchez to do the majority of how you build your attack and how you fashion out chances. And first thing, when I look at those four players, they're not the creative type. So if you can just mark Ozil out of the game, you're significantly hindering how well we can do attacking-wise. So that's the main tactic you guys have got to employ, I think, if you want to stop us attacking-wise. That's not really defensive-wise, though, in terms of Arsenal, but... and you guys snatching a winner, but I don't think that's what you guys can focus on right now. It's more about how you can stop us from scoring.
Looking at our players individually, anyone you're scared of? Probably Martial.
Martial, obviously, I think it's more about the hungrier players that are coming in to replace those that are injured. So obviously that's the likes of Lingard and Martial. And I think those players that we've got to be most worried about. I don't really fear the likes of Depay and Mata, mostly because they're seen as players who just haven't turned up this season, haven't got much to offer. So obviously, it's the likes of Lingard and Martial.
And looking at United in the managerial situation, do you think Mourinho should come in, Van Gaal should go out?
Personally, I'd like to see United go with a more attacking coach. I just feel that is the philosophy that needs to be taught into that team. I don't like the style of play that Mourinho coaches, and not many do. And I just feel that that's going to hinder United some more, even though I believe, obviously, Mourinho is a better manager.
Thank you very much for joining us. How can we find you on Twitter?
Twitter's KN1886.
I would say good luck for Sunday, but no. Hopefully we can get a win. I can't really see us winning. I think most we'll get is a one or draw, maybe like at the end of last season. Thank you very much for joining us, Kieran.
Thank you guys for having me on. It's been great.
We also have a couple of questions from Twitter. We had one from JBHAFC. I think I've got those initials of Brighton right earlier on. Then another one from Assisting Silver, who said, should TMO be considered in football? This was after Wan-Mata's free kick against Shrewsbury was controversial to some degree, as some people thought that, perhaps rightly so, that three of United's players were in an offside position when the free kick was taken and were interfering with the goalkeeper. Harry, what's your opinion on this?
I think technology in football is certainly lacking. As we've seen, the goal decision system, GDS, has been very, very successful, and they've managed to create this technology that's incredibly quick. I think it's in like 0.2 of a second or something that the signal gets given to the referee's watch. I think TMO is a very difficult one, because one of the main reasons that we all love football is, and although we might not realise it, one of the main reasons we love football is the flowing nature of it, the fact that it's so quick, even if it's not always that quick with United at the moment. And I think TMO works in sports like cricket. I think given the stop-start nature of American football in the NFL, I think it could work there as well. But for football, I don't think TMO is is something that can be introduced yet, because ultimately it can't be that quick. Maybe in rugby you have a TV ref sitting in the stands. Maybe that could be an possibility, but then in rugby the ref on the pitch gets consulted and he watches the replay with the rest of the fans. So I think it would have to be something that different from cricket, from rugby, from other sports that use it. And I think there'd have to be very strict rules on it, such as in which cases you can use it, maybe just for goals, and how many phases before the goal can you look back on? Because really, if it's a goal, you don't want to be looking back 2 minutes before the goal's gone into a foul. You want to be looking at maybe 5 or 6 passes before the goal's gone in. Would you agree there?
Yeah, I think it's really difficult, actually, because I've discussed this with a couple of people on Twitter before that. In principle, TMO is a really, really good idea for football. Obviously, we all get frustrated when decisions don't go our way. I've never let go of the fact that I'm trying to think of the year. It might have been 2007 or 2010. I can't remember. But Chelsea won the league that season by 1 point. And basically, the reason they ended up winning the league effectively was because Drogba scored an offside goal against us at Old Trafford. And I've never let it go from that point. So in principle, definitely TMO is something that I want to see. But practically, I'm actually not sure it could work, because how do you decide which decisions you transfer upstairs to the video referee? So for instance, say someone's running through on goal. If the linesman flags for offside, and then you then go upstairs and find out, actually, it wasn't offside, you can't just drop the ball and let the one-on-one happen as it was. Obviously, then there's a point with how do you restart the game and how do you decide which decisions that you check for? What if there's ones where the linesman is 100% sure, how do you decide whether you actually want to go and check for it or not? And if the linesman doesn't give it, then how and a goal is scored again, how do you decide, actually, I think we should check that one, you know? And so practically, I'm not really sure how it could work. And the problem is, although the offside rule has become more black and white with the introduction of that new clause at the start of the season, there is still some room for interpretation. There was a lot of different opinions last night on the goal. I was watching a stream on, I believe it was Fox Sports in America, and it had Brad Friedel and another pundit, I'm not sure it was. And Brad Friedel was certain that it should have been offside, but the other pundit was adamant that it wasn't. And I think that just sums it up really well, to be honest. The problem with officiating in football is that there is so much personal subjectivity to it, so it's difficult, really, to make the TMO work properly.
And there's also the issue of how far does TMO go down? Because ultimately, a non-league club can hardly afford, A, the technology, and B, to pay, the league can't afford to pay another extra referee. The other question this week?
So the other question comes in from at FFS Arsenal, who asked about Arsenal's selection dilemma on the right wing for our game on Sunday. He says, should Alexis's poor form mean that he possibly has to swap wings? And who do we expect generally to line up for Arsenal on the right wing?
It's hard to say. I mean, they've got some good options. Walcott hasn't been starting on the wing recently, but I don't know, maybe, I doubt Wenger will, but I think he could be useful with his pace against whoever we can put together as our fullbacks. Obviously, Alexis, despite not being on the best form since returning from injury, is a huge threat. Well, a player I really like, a player who I think United should have signed because he fits in so well. That physical presence combined with the brilliant skill and the incredible game intelligence and incredible work rate too. On the right wing, I personally like Chamberlain, even if his goals and assists sort of stats aren't great. I like him. I think his decision making needs to improve massively, but I do like him on the right, Jack.
I think that is likely to be the lineup that Arsenal do end up going with. One consideration that I would definitely have if I was selecting that Arsenal team is that of Danny Welbeck. Obviously, just come back from injury. He's high on confidence after that very dramatic late-winning goal against Leicester. And against his former club, you know, he scored against us heartbreakingly last season to knock us out of the FA Cup. But I think he's definitely a player that I would consider starting if I was Arsene Wenger. The only problem is that him and Alexis both like to operate off the left. So one of them would probably have to go to the right, you'd assume. That would be Danny Welbeck. However, I do expect Oxlade-Chamberlain to line up on the right.
Werwick's work rate and determination, perhaps, to prove Louis van Gaal wrong as he did last season. When I got about 2 hours sleep or something returning from that game to get to school in the morning. I think his work rate, much like Alexis and Pace, and his finishing, because his finishing is okay, and it's certainly better than Theo Walcott's, as we saw against Hull in their nil-all draw at the weekend. His finishing could be a good addition to that Arsenal side. That wraps things up for us today. Thank you very much for listening, as we had a lot to discuss there, four games. Thank you very much to our guest, Kieran Nagra. Jack, where can we find you on Twitter?
At UTD Tate. Thank you also to the people that sent in questions. We really appreciate your interaction on these episodes. It's really good.
Yeah, thank you very much. You can find me on Twitter at Harry Robinson 64. And you can find the podcast on Twitter at UTD Weekly Pod, P-O-D. So keep following, keep subscribing, keep retweeting, keep sharing in any way you can. And please keep listening, because your support has been incredible so far. Thank you very much for listening to Series 1, Episode 7 of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. Goodbye. She's so easy, easy.